The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Then they came to Capernaum, and on the Sabbath, Jesus entered the synagogue and taught. The people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. In their synagogue was a man with an unclean spirit. He cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked him and said, "Quiet, come out of him." The unclean spirit convulsed him, and with a loud cry came out of him. All were amazed and asked one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." His fame spread everywhere throughout the whole region of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Not long ago, dear friends, we spoke about the prophetic word. And if you remember, we reviewed several of the prophets of the Old Testament and also mentioned John the Baptist and Jesus. We talked about the prophet Isaiah and how he was called, saying, first of all, "I'm a man of unclean lips and I don't know what to say." And God saying, "No, I will fix that. You will speak. And when you speak, they will listen." And we spent a long time on Jeremiah. We sang the song of the young prophet based on Jeremiah's call. "And everywhere you are to go, my hand will follow you. You will not be alone. In every danger that you fear, my hand will be there with you." We sang it and we recalled our own calling and the calling of the church to be prophet and to speak a word in the name of God, a word that sometimes is not well received because the world is not ready to hear it, but a word nonetheless that needs to be spoken and that must be spoken. And last Sunday, I wasn't here with you, but I'm sure that Father must have dwelt on the prophet Jonah, because it was from Jonah, the first reading. The reluctant prophet goes to Nineveh and he speaks, and the people hear, and they are converted. So the prophet, even though sometimes he may not feel this is really not what I want to do at the moment, when he goes with the power of God, the people still listen and they are converted. And these are the thoughts that came to me today as I heard the first reading of today, where the Lord says, "I will raise up a prophet from among your own people. You have been hearing my voice through Moses, but now I will raise up someone from your own people, and when he speaks, you will hear him because he will be speaking my word." And in the gospel today, we have Jesus speaking with authority, not like the scribes, because the scribes would normally quote Rabbi so-and-so, Rabbi so-and-so. But Jesus doesn't quote anyone. He speaks with authority. And it is so powerful that it is recognized, that the people have to comment on it. "My God, what is this thing? We've never seen this man before, this man speaks with authority. And he even commands evil spirits to move. This is extraordinary. I don't know if that was the only effect that Jesus' words had on the people. Because sometimes, you see, dear friends, we say, oh, what a wonderful preaching that was. And we go home and nothing changes. Whatever the message was, we say, oh, wasn't he eloquent? Wasn't he good? But we don't take it to heart. We think he was talking about somebody else, to somebody else. So I don't know if the amazement of these people in the gospel today was something like that. They were amazed, but of course, as you know, in the end, they were shouting, crucify him, crucify him. Maybe some did take the word to heart, but I just asked the question. But as I said earlier, my dear friends, as I prayed on these readings, the word authority kept coming back at me. Authority. What was the authority that he had? And it must have been very obvious and evident to make that impression on the people. So I thought today I would share a word on authority. The authority that is present in the world, worldly authority. The authority of Jesus, given by Almighty God. And the authority that you and I have as children of God and as disciples of Jesus Christ. A word on each. Worldly authority. When we speak about authority in general, dear friends, we speak about the power that a person has received to determine the actions of another person or a group of people. The power that the person has received to determine. So he's given control, he's given charge. So society enacts laws. Laws for the protection of its citizens. And the police service are given authority to ensure that these laws are enforced and that they are kept for the good of the people. And world leaders, presidents, prime ministers, and so on, are given authority to govern their countries, to speak in the international forum on behalf of and for their citizens. So, when our prime minister, after Hurricane Maria, went off to the UN to speak about climate change, he was speaking on our behalf and for us. When he went to the other agencies to ask for aid, he was asking for us. He has that authority to do so. And as you know, the laws that are enacted also, they are given that authority. And as you know, dear friends, their authority comes from the people who elected them. So any president of any country can speak, sometimes foolishly, but nonetheless, we ask, who put them there? It's the people. So they have that authority to speak. And the same with any world leader. And that authority is also transferred and given to the other ministers of government and the permanent secretaries and so forth, all those who are in that government, because that is part of the work that is assigned to them. But the thing to remember about worldly authority, dear friends, is that it is transitional. What do I mean? It is not permanent, it is passing. So that the day that the president demits office, he no longer has the authority as a president. His work is done. He goes back to civil life as an ordinary person. Of course, he still has the title, as in America and so forth, but he no longer has that authority to lead as he did and govern as he did before when he was in office. The same applies to the prime minister or any other government leader. When they demit office, or when they are not put back into office, their authority ceases. So worldly authority is transitional. It's only passing, only here for a time. Even my dear friends, you might think of the church. A year ago, I was assigned to be your parish priest. Before that, I had no authority here. Yes, I could have been invited, and as I was, to do a mission and so forth, but at the end of the mission, I'm gone. And even then, I would still have to abide by the rules of the pastor who's there, because I don't have that authority. And when the day comes for me to receive another position, my position here and my authority here will cease. That is worldly authority. And then when we come to the authority of Jesus, we're speaking about something completely different. Because you see, Jesus receives his authority from Almighty God. And that doesn't end. God does not take back his promise, nor does he revoke his calling. Once it is given, it is given. And so we hear in today's gospel, my goodness, he speaks with authority. Do you remember, my dear friends, in the Sermon on the Mount? That section that goes, you have heard it said before, but now I say to you. Do you remember that? There are several sections on that. You have heard it said before, and then he quotes the Old Testament, well, the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill. That's one of the commandments. But now I say to you, if you have hatred in your heart, you have already sinned. Go to confession. So he speaks with authority. He's not quoting anyone. He's giving us from his heart. And that kind of authority with which he speaks never ends. He spoke with authority then. He speaks with authority now. So that the word that we hear, as Paul would say to us, give everything you have to the Lord and listen to him and him alone, because he's speaking to you now with the same authority with which he spoke 2,000 years ago. And my dear friends, if you were to comb the Gospels, you would find that Jesus has authority over numerous factors of life. So over climate, for example, over nature. I don't know if you remember the storm on the lake. They are on the lake and the storm comes up and they say, Lord, do you not care? We are going down, because he's asleep on a cushion. And he gets up and he says, quiet, be calm. And the winds dropped and the waves will come again. Do you remember that? He spoke even to nature with authority. Quiet, be calm. And all was calm again. He spoke to the sea and the sea stood still. How many times, my dear friends, in the scriptures do we read that Jesus spoke to whatever disease, spoke to the disease and said, you are no more. Get out of this person. Where he performed so many miraculous cures. Leprosy. Deafness. Congenital blindness. Impediments of speech. All of these, again, remind us that he speaks even to the nature of humankind in all their illnesses. He has authority over that as well. Or again, even over death itself. Remember the story of the raising of the daughter of Jairus, or the woman of Nain, the boy, or even Lazarus himself. He spoke and it came to be. And very often, my dear friends, he was questioned, where do you get your authority from? Why are you doing these things? On whose authority? He was questioned because they recognized that indeed he was special and his authority came from a mighty God. And my dear friends, if he spoke with authority then, he speaks with authority now. What is your ailment? What is your sickness? What is this thing that is bothering you? Go to him. He still has that authority. Call on him. He will speak a word in your favor. And that brings me then, my dear friends, to the authority that you and I have. Keep in mind that worldly authority is transitional, it's passing. Keep in mind that the authority that Jesus has is not transitional. It's real, it's permanent, then and now. In Matthew 28, Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And now I tell you, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." First, he says, the authority is given to me, and now I'm giving you the authority. All authority is given to me, and now I say to you, go in my name. Go in my name and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In so doing, dear friends, he was giving you and me the authority to continue his work on earth. And that authority is permanent. For every baptized person who is called son of God, daughter of God, that authority is given. Because as Jesus would remind us, "I call you to be my disciples." And as our Pope would remind us, we're not only disciples, we are missionary disciples. So at confirmation, we receive the gifts to empower us further for the work that we are intended to do by the authority. Sometimes, dear friends, when we speak, people laugh at us. I mentioned that some time ago. So the church, because it stands for truth and justice and right, and people are not ready, oftentimes we stand alone. We stand alone as church, and you and I will stand alone as individuals too. Because in our offices, on our streets, we strive to do the right thing. People are not ready to hear us. So they curse us and they make fun of us. That's okay. But the authority that we have, because it comes from God, is never tarnished and never is diminished either. And therefore, we have to hold on to it and speak when we need to speak, whatever word it may be that we consider to be the truth, in season and out of season, whether it is applauded or whether it is rejected. That's not our concern. Your concern and mine is to say, "I stand on the authority of Jesus Christ and in Jesus' name." In the name of Jesus. That is the authority. In the name of Jesus, I command you to hush. Hush! Not on my own authority, in the name of Jesus. And I want you, my dear friends, to know that you have that authority to speak for the Lord a word that will touch someone else. And as I said, if at the moment they don't recognize it, not to worry about that. Maybe when they go home, they say, "Bon Dieu, you know, the lady was right, you know. I just didn't have the courage to tell her that there, but she was right, we." Ah, you have them. You have them. Just as sometimes when a word is spoken to us and we are not ready to receive it, we say, we huff and puff, but when we go home, we think about it, but you know, he was right. I must apologize. The word must be spoken. And so in confirmation, we have all the gifts. Wisdom, what for? Understanding, what for? Strength, what for? Why do we have all these gifts, if not that we would be able to stand with authority and speak for God? I don't know, my dear friends, if ever you think of yourself as the voice of God within your families, within your communities. I want to say, my dear friends, that the authority that parents have over their children is God-given, because God gives you the children and God says, take care of them. So why are parents afraid to correct their children? Why are parents saying, "Oh, well, it's a new day, and let them do their thing"? No, correct them. Because they will come back 5 years later and say, "Mommy, I get into this because you never corrected me." They will reproach you, you know. They will reproach you. And you have nothing to say but, you know, beat your breast and say, "But it's true, you know, I was weak because I was trying to be like the other people that don't correct their children." That authority to teach is God-given. Cannot not teach when you have the opportunity to do so. Can God remove his authority? Oh, yes, he can. If we don't stay in line with him, after a while we have no authority to say anything at all. If our lives don't show what we teach, then we have no authority. It's nothing. But as Paul says, if you stay with the Lord, and I think that was his point in that second reading, the person who is not married has more time for God, whether man or woman. And whether married or not, don't forget, God is first. He has appointed you, and therefore you have to go and speak in his name. You may ask the question, why is it then that there is so much evil in the world? Why is it then that demons are not being cast out and sickness is so pervasive? Well, maybe we who are supposed to be the reflection of God are not quite that reflection of God, because our lives have not changed, because we pledge allegiance more to evil than to good, and therefore we have no authority, we have no power. I say to you, dear friends, understand your authority as a child of God and as a disciple of Jesus Christ. If today you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Authority. He spoke with authority, and the people were amazed. It's our turn now, dear friends, yours and mine, to speak with that same authority, because we are rooted and grounded in our God, in our faith, and in our church. May God give us that grace to recognize our authority and to use it well. Amen.